just being a part of today is great. I want to say thanks for letting us be here today. I will say this, just in worship, I want you to know that if you're a first-time visitor here today, or if you come since the beginning, you're in a safe place. I just want to let you know that this morning. You're in a place that you can have refuge, that you can have peace, that you can have hope, and it be part of your life from this day forward. And if you don't feel that, I pray before you leave today, you'll have that peace that God can give, because he's the one that does that. And this is a great place. Pastor Rob and his family, I just want to thank you for allowing us to be here today. We are tired. I will tell you that. That's for sure. 6 hours difference and just trying to adjust has been great, because our students and the students from Siloam Springs in Arkansas, Pastor Gary, the senior pastor there, he is actually preaching at City Church today, and he'll be preaching at Clondalkin tonight, and we're going to be running Kids Church stuff there tonight as well. And we're looking forward to it. Because why? Because it is a kingdom thing. No matter if we're from the America or we're either from Ireland, it makes no difference. God is concerned about our lives and how, thank you, and how, are you think I'm a dry preacher? I mean, no, I'm just kidding. I'll probably need that here in a minute. But I guess it was Thursday night. We went to just outside street ministry and just connecting with people at Temple Bar and different places. I said this to Pastor Noel and to our team when we were just kind of going through things that after it was over with. But being down in that area and, you know, just never being in Dublin before, just looking at all the sites. But after going to street ministry and connecting with people and seeing where their lives are hurting, it's the same city, but it's a different attitude. Because when I went back there yesterday, I began to see the same people that we prayed with, the same people that we connected with, we gave tea to or coffee to or a sandwich to, or just talked to them about the love of Christ. And that is the mentality that Christ wants us to have with people, whether it be in this city or any other city that this church is trying to connect with. So I just want to say thanks for being here again today. And we're going to jump into God's word this morning. So several different verses that we're going to be looking at today, but the main one is found in St. Matthew chapter number 26. So if you have your Bibles, you want to go there. And we're going to be looking at a very familiar story, maybe to some in this building this morning. But before we get there, I'm a student pastor. I work with students, 12 to 18-year-olds, so I am very versed in them just being very verbal and communicating back and forth during our services that we have. So I'm going to open the floor a little bit. I'm not going to give you the microphone because I'm afraid of doing that, but I will let you speak a little bit. I'm going to ask the question, what are you afraid of? So this is feedback time. And you could say it could be spiders. It could be snakes. One of my youth volunteer staff, he's a big guy. He used to wrestle in high school. And but if you put a snake near him, he will beat you to death with your own arms. I promise you. He went with his dad one time fishing, or his grandpa, and his grandpa threw a snake in the boat. And he jumped out of the boat where other more snakes were. He said, well, I can't see those, but I can see that one, and I'm not getting near it. Just a big guy, but he's afraid of snakes. And there's a lot of things maybe that you're thinking, I'm afraid of this or I'm afraid of that. Or it could be a little deeper. Something else that may be fear. Fear of future. Fear of past. Fear of what might happen. You know, I don't know. But when we went Thursday night to outreach and we went to minister to people, there was a man that I met there. His name was James Thomas Murphy. And if you've met Jay, some of you know who Jay is. He was a friend of Jay's, and I talked with him a little bit in one area. Then he came up to the bus later and got some food, and I began to talk to him more. And he said, you know, it's not the drugs that I'm worried about trying to get life victory over. It's alcohol. He said, I'm afraid because he said, I've had three fits since I've tried to quit. And every time I try to quit, that's what happens, and I'm afraid. I'm afraid if I try to stop drinking, that this is what's going to happen. He said, it's fear. And it was just a confirmation to me about what I wanted to talk to you about this morning, is about overcoming fear in your life. We all deal with it, no matter what it may be. It may be a small thing to some. It may be a large thing to other people. But we deal with fear no matter what level of life, no matter what level of our spiritual walk we are with God right now. There's times that we have to battle that fear. Now, I'm going to go nursery school with you today, okay? I'm going to give you a nursery rhyme this morning just to kind of maybe bring back some remembrance here. But I'm going to say this memory verse. Little Miss Muffet, she sat on a tuffet, eating her curds and whey. Along came a spider who sat down beside her and frightened Miss Muffet away. And we'll get to what I mean by that here in just a little bit, okay? So bear with me. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter number 26, we're going to look at some verses there. And this is a story of when Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, about his dealing with trouble and stress. And this is what it reads. When Jesus went to his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be very sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" He asked Peter, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done." Then he came back again and found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Come, here comes my betrayer." Let's pray this morning if we can. Father, I'm thankful for your word. It's powerful. It's just what we need today in our lives. And I believe, God, today the thing you've spoken to my heart, I want to be able to share it with this congregation this morning. Let my words be your words today. Let me simply be your vessel to be used to bring honor to your name. Amen. Looking at three different words that kind of brings out what Christ was dealing with. One is this: troubled, sorrowful, and distressed. And by definition, trouble is a state of distress, affliction, difficulty, or need. Sorrowful is feeling sorrow, grieved, or sad. There's been times in our life that we've felt sorrow, that we've felt sadness. We've been distressed. We've been stressed out. There's different times that we deal with that. You know, maybe tomorrow when you go back to work, maybe there's things that need to be taken care of. Maybe as soon as I say work, the stress level rises. I don't know. But there's things that we deal with all the time, being distressed, much troubled, upset, afflicted. All the words that described what Christ was dealing with at that time when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, getting ready to make his biggest decision, because he could have chosen not to do that. Do you realize that? He could have chosen not to give his life for you and I, but he chose to. He chose to make that decision because he cares about doing what God wanted him to do. He cares about you and I in this room. 2,000 plus years later, he still cares about the decision that he made. And that was to give his life for you and I. But the one word that did not describe what Christ was dealing with was fear. It was not there. By definition, me looking at these scriptures, he was not afraid. He was just dealing with a lot of stress. He knew what he had to do. He knew he was going to do that. It was just the point of making the decision, I am going to follow what God has called me to do because I care for this world enough to lay down my life for their salvation no matter what. Yes, I'm stressed. Yes, I'm sorrowful. Yes, I'm overwhelmed. But you know what? I'm still going to go through what God has called me to do. This is how Jesus overcame having fear in his life during the greatest moment of need in his life. Number one is this: he talked to God. And one thing I can tell you this morning is simply this. Just like I am speaking to you, you can talk to God. In your car, on the railway, whatever, it makes no difference. Where you are, on your bike, walking down the street, you can have a conversation with the Father right now. Why? Because he has made that available through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we can have communication with him. So no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what's going on in your life, you can walk in confidence in knowing that I can talk to God. You can do that. Looking in the mirror in the morning when you're getting ready and wondering what happened to this hair. You know, wow, you know, did I sleep on my face last night? What is the deal? Okay, but you can still talk to God. You can say, God, it doesn't make a difference what's going on in my life, what's going on in my situation, what my family's dealing with. I can talk to you about this. And that's what Christ did. He did that. He talked to God. He went away. Now, he was trying to get others, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But he talked to God. Whenever fear of whatever is battling you, go talk to God. There's a scripture that I love, 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear or being timid, but he has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And we're going to break those down here in just a moment. But I want to remind you that God is a gift giver. You know, if you Christmas time, my kids love it. My kids sometimes, I have four daughters. Pray for me, please. Even my dog is female at home, so I have no help. It's just the way that it is. But I love my girls. I love my wife. And this is my wife, Shannon. Would you wave at them, honey? I forgot. We've been married a long time. It feels like longer. No, I'm just kidding. My dad says that too much. So, but we have four daughters, and we love them. But Christmas time is an exciting time. My wife loves it just as much as my kids. But you get gifts. Maybe your birthday, you get a gift. And I want to let you know that Christ, that God is a gift giver. He gave his son willingly. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's the first thing that he did. And I want you to understand this morning that Christ is a gift giver. God is a gift giver because I didn't give you fear. I didn't give you a spirit of being timid. I gave you power. I gave you love. And I gave you a sound mind. Those are the things I want you to have. I don't want you to have fear. I didn't give that to you. I want you to understand that's not what God wants you to have in your life. God doesn't want you to have that. So when you talk to him, say, God, I have fear about this. I have worry. I have anxiety about this. You didn't give this to me. This is what you gave me. You gave me power. You gave me love. You gave me a sound mind. And that's what I'm praying for in my life today. When I walk out of this building this morning, my prayer to you is that you're going to have that today. You're going to be able to go back to your home, be able to lay your head on your pillow tonight and have victory from fear, victory from worry, because the word of God says that he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. Take what God gives you and chunk the rest. Get rid of it. It's not part of your life. It's not what you need. It's not what God wants you to have. He wants you to have those three things established in your spiritual walk with him where you walk in victory every day. I'm not saying every day is a great day. There's going to come tests. There's going to come trials. But you know what? You go back to the scripture, God, you give me power. You've given me love, and you've given me a sound mind, and I receive that in Jesus' name in my life. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship by we cry, Abba, Father. Now, we know in the Bible, son, it could be son and daughter, okay, but they just use that term analogy right there, so that's fine. I want you to understand that you are a son and you are a daughter of Almighty God. You have an heir. You are joint heirs with Christ Jesus because of what he paid on the cross. So once again, I want to remind you that you have ownership to be able to receive the things that God wants you to have. It's not just for somebody else outside this building. It's just not for a pastor or a youth pastor or a kids church worker. It's for you, a person that maybe just came for the very first time into this service this morning. I want you to know that you can have that type of relationship with God this morning, being a son or a daughter of his. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out Abba Father, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. I think we understand what that word heir means. That means you are in ownership. You have the right to be able to have the riches that God has for your life. The Bible says he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Or silver and gold are his. What is that saying? That means that all the resources, all the things that God has for his believers is given to you. All you have to do is follow after him. All you have to do is walk after him. All you've got to do is accept Christ as your Savior and connect with him and let him be your life coach. Let him be the person who leads and guides and directs your life. God has given me power. He's given me love. He's given me a sound mind. And a sound mind, by my definition, is self-discipline. He's given me the ability to be able to make correct choices in my life because I allow this to be the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my pathway. This is our roadmap. This is how we communicate and connect with Christ, and that is in his word. If we want to know how to get to point A to point B, this is the way we get there. God has given that to us, His Word of God. We get to talk to Him. Power through the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, power in the Word. That is our life source. We've got to have those things. Love for God. Never get over your salvation. That's one thing that I can look at Pastor Noel and look at the people that are a part of leadership in this church as well as the city and other places. They have never lost their joy of salvation. We don't have to lose that. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are some people that I'm connected with that I'm not sure if they're alive or dead. Now, they come to church and they may have got saved back in 1946. I have no idea. But I want their relationship with Christ to be alive. And how do we do that? We communicate with God. We talk to God. We connect with God. We do those things on a daily basis. The Apostle Paul said, I buffet my body daily to bring myself under subjection to the Lord. What does that mean? Every day of his life, he went to God. God, if there's something you don't like about me, get it out. I want to follow after you. He wrote most of the New Testament. If you study any type of Bible history, he wrote a lot of the scriptures in the New Testament. Why? Because he made a decision that I'm going to run after God. I'm going to communicate with God. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to be connected to him because I have understood that it's greater to be with him than it is to be against him. And I chose to do that. I love it when God pulls people that have strong wills. I have a 12-year-old daughter. She is a strong-willed child. It's honest. She gets it from her mother. So I'm just kidding. I'll be in trouble now. But she's a great kid. And all I need to do is be able to help my wife and I help her to go in the right direction. And God pulls people all across the world. He says, I see potential in your life. I see connection in your life. And all I want to do is give you what you need to have from me, and I can make you do great things for me. Communicate with God. Self-discipline. When God's choices are made, you always win. It may not be the easiest choice. There may be difficult things we have to do to make choices that are going to put us in the right place that God wants us to have. But we make the correct choices because we have that discipline that comes from knowing him. Second thing Christ did to overcome fear and not have fear in his life, he surrounded himself with friends. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 reads this, two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. I'm going to stop right there. Do not walk this life with Christ alone. We need each other. We need someone in our life that we can call, we can text, we can go to their home, whatever it may be of communication, and say, you know what? I need you to pray with me right now. I need God to intercede in a situation in my life, and I trust you. I trust you. I want you to know today that these people in this room that are leadership, I've just met a few of them. I want to say it again. It's a safe place. You can talk to them. Pastor Rod can pray with you. He can do those things. People in this room that maybe you've become friends with, you can pray with them. You can do those things. Let's continue to read. Verse number 11. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I want you to understand that this is where God wants us to be, together, communicating. Whether we live 6,000 miles away or we live, you know, it took us 7.5 hours to fly over here. It doesn't make a difference. There's a connection immediately. There's a phone call. There's a Facebook message. It's a text message, whatever it is, and we're connecting. We can do that. No matter what the distance may be, God in light years brings us back together that close, that quickly. Why? Because that's what God does. The word of God says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And if he's in our lives and we join together with each other, it's a huge blessing in our life spiritually. So we have other people we can depend upon. We are here for each other. You have a church here at Bray that loves and cares about you. You have a church community, not just in this city, but other cities around. And it's growing. Why? Because there's people that are really wanting the real answers for their life. They want to know God. They don't know just about God. They want to have a relationship with God. When that is changed in their life, where they, well, I know about God, but I know him. That changes. And that was the thing that I want you to understand this morning. Friendship is huge. Friendship is a must. Pray with each other. Don't fall asleep on each other. Now, we look at the story. And Christ, his guys were sleepy. They were tired. But he kept encouraging them. You got to pray. Don't fall into temptation. Pray. Pray for each other. Pray for me. Help your friends make wise decisions. Get together and go after God. Those are the things we need to do. The third thing that Christ did was this. He realized God's best was the best for him. Very familiar scripture that you may know or may not. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's the first part. I want you to understand that Satan, the devil, does not want you to succeed. He does not want you to be victorious. He does not want you to be free from whatever fear may be in your life. I want you to understand that is his job. That is his responsibility. Why? Because he does not want us to have a relationship with the Father. He does not want us to have freedom through the Son, Jesus Christ. He does not want us to have the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. So he's going to do everything he possibly can to distract you, to put fear in your life, to put maybe situations that you feel like, you know, God, where are you in this thing? What's going on in my life? He wants to do everything he possibly can. But I love how the scripture ends, because that's what our God is. He's a giving God. It simply says this, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. God wants your life not just for eternity, but here on this earth right now to be its fullest it possibly can be. He wants you to experience joy in him, power in him, self-discipline in him. He wants you to experience those things. How can you do that? Well, I'll tell you one thing. We'll go back to point number one. Talk to him. I'll go back to point number two. Connect with other believers that they can help encourage you in your faith. And third, trust his plan for your life. Do you realize that? Do you realize that God has a specific plan for your life right now? And he's just asking you to step on and follow that plan. Oh, it may be tough. It may be difficult. You know what? I remember a time I had to disassociate myself with friends because I knew if I continued to hang around them, my life for Christ would not be the direction that he wanted me to go. And it was not an easy situation. It was not an easy decision. But when I made that decision, I realized that was the best decision I could make for my life. I had fear. I had worry. What are they going to say? What's going to happen? Am I going to have the friends that you know, am I going to have close friendship? What's it going to be? I don't know. But I understood that God's plan for my life was the best plan for my life. Jesus wants to free you from fear that is maybe keeping you depressed, angry, hurt, bitter, underachieving, whatever. There, just like the man that I met on Thursday, there are people all around this planet that they don't want to let go of a hurt because they don't know how to deal with life without being still angry with somebody. Do you know the only person you're hurting is yourself? You're not hurting the other person. They've probably forgotten about it. And it's time for you to allow God to free you and to say, you know what? My life and the plan that God has for me is bigger than this situation. God, I give it to you today. I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I'm not going to be angry about this anymore. I'm not going to be bitter about this anymore. I'm not going to allow this hurt to keep me oppressed. I am going to have victory through you. Last thing that Christ did is simply this. He trusted God's plan for his life. Trust is a huge thing. We live in a society that you don't trust a lot of people because you think the next thing they're going to do, they're going to stab you in the back. And it's a huge thing. Even in a church home, in a church house, in a church family, you got to break through those things. You've got to trust, be able to trust each other. Be able to say, you know, I can go to this person and I can share with him my heart and know I can trust them, that they can take care of me. Because that's what Christ did. He trusted his Father enough. Father, this is your plan. You sent me to do a certain job. You sent me to be the lamb. You sent me to be the person that's going to willingly give my life for the salvation of the world. And I trust you, and I'm going to follow that plan. John 14:12-14 verses simply say this, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do good works. I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. I want to stop right there. Christ paid the price on Calvary. He died. He was put in the grave. 3 days later, he rose triumphantly. He is at the right hand of the Father right now making intercession. Do you know what that means? Basically, he is our lawyer. Okay? He is the one that when we have trouble, he goes to God. You know, Pastor Rob, you know, just because he's a pastor doesn't mean he doesn't have difficulties. I want to tell you that right now. I've been a pastor. I understand that. There's times I'm like, why am I doing this job? I could be working somewhere else and not dealing with all this. But you know what? God reminds me, that's not what I called you to do. This is a plan I have for your life. I want you to understand that Christ is our lawyer. That means that he goes to us. He's our advocate. He's the one that takes care of us. He's the one when we have trouble. He goes to God. You know, they're dealing with this, but you know what, God? I paid the price for their salvation. I paid the price. The stripes on his back were for our healing. The word of God talks about that in Isaiah chapter 53, that by his stripes we are healed. Why did he pay the price? That way when we have difficulties in our life, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, those things, those hurts, Christ said, I will help you through those because I paid the price for them. You can trust me. Give me a chance in your life. Give me opportunity in your life to make a difference where you can follow the path that I have for you. Let me do those things. Continue to read verse 13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Do you realize that because Christ paid the price for our salvation, we have the ability to do greater things? We have the ability to pray for someone and they be delivered from alcohol, delivered from drugs, their marriage restored, their life restored. Them being able to have the job that God wants them to have. I'm not saying that God's a genie in a bottle, okay? He's not that. It's not like, oh, God, I can ask you for anything. If it's according to his will for your life, then he's going to allow those things to happen. You know, if that was the case, everybody would say, well, give me €1 million, God. You know, just fork it over. Let's go. Put it in my bank account. You know, I don't want to work a day in my life. If it was that easy, everybody would be doing that. That's not the plan that God is talking about. He's talking about the plan for your life that his will has for you. Pray for those things. Allow God to do those things in your life today. How can I do even greater things than Jesus? Here's the answer. Verse number 39 back in Matthew 26. It says this simply. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. It's because Christ did the will of the Father, we have the opportunity to be able to do great things for him because he paid the price. He did what needed to be done that you and I can have victory over fear, over whatever it may be. God's plan for his creation to stay connected to him. Jesus died for that reason, and he is in heaven to make sure we have the opportunity to reach lost people with that same message. If I was to ask you this morning, is there someone in your family, is there someone that you're acquainted with that needs to know Christ? You'd raise your hand. I can raise my hand. I still have those in my family. And I've been in church all my life. My dad's been a pastor all my life. But that makes no difference. God wants to give us the opportunity to be able to reach them. Well, I'm afraid. Yep. That's just what Satan wants you to do. Be afraid. He doesn't want you to talk about Christ on your job. He doesn't want you to talk about Christ to your father or your mother or your brother or your sister or someone you're acquainted with. He wants you to be in fear because he knows if he puts that fear in your life, you won't be able to do the will that God wants you to have for your life. We want to break that fear today. We want to be bold. We want to have that victory in our life that we can step forward and say, God, I'm going to do what you've called me to do because I know it's your will and I trust you today. I trust you today that I'll be able to do that. Because of fear, little Miss Muffet did not get to eat her food. Okay? She ran away. She was afraid of the spider, whatever, and she did not get to receive what she wanted. This morning, maybe you're here and there's a fear about something. Maybe you're here and Christ is not the Lord of your life. Maybe you're afraid, if I really follow God, what's going to happen? Give him a chance. Trust him today. Satan wants to use fear to destroy God's purpose for your life. Kill the fear this morning and be the person God intended for you to be. I want to leave you with a scripture today before we spend some time in prayer. John 18 verses 4 through 6 says this: Jesus fully realized that all that was going to happen to him. Do you understand? Before he was going to be crucified, beaten with a whip, the nails into his feet, into his hands, all the piercing of his side, the crown of thorns on his head, all that, he realized what was going to happen to him. Okay? Get that in your brain this morning. It wasn't like he didn't know what was going to happen. He knew exactly what was going to happen. That's what Scripture tells us right here. I'll read it again. Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him. John 18, verses 4 through 6. So he stepped forward to meet them. Do you understand what just happened? He wasn't running away. He wasn't backing down. Our God, Christ, our Savior, he said, I stepped forward and I was ready to meet what was going to happen in my life, because I knew doing God's will was far greater than doing my own will. And so many times, because of a big situation, we want to run away. But our God, our Savior, Christ, he stepped forward. He said, who are you looking for? He asked. Jesus the Nazarene, they replied. I am he, Jesus said. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. As Jesus said, I am he. Get this. They all drew back and fell to the ground. Nobody pushed them. Nobody tripped them. It was because of the power of God at that moment when he said, I am he. The power of God. They fell down. I want you to understand, you serve a mighty God this morning. You serve a Father who cares about you and gave his Son for you today. God is concerned about you not living in fear. God is concerned about you walking in victory. God is concerned about you being a man, being a woman that can say, God, I trust you. I communicate with you. I'm surrounding myself with friends that care about me and care about following after you. I trust your plan and I trust your will for my life.